Our scripture today comes from Mark chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained, hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this to the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, hello, Christ Church, and all of our friends joining us today. I'm so glad you're with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or the website, say hello to other friends in the comments section. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. If you want to follow along with my outline, you can do so on the website or the Christ Church app. So today is the first Sunday of Lent, and I'm beginning a new series titled Jesus Encounters. Throughout these 40 days of Lent, we Christ followers are encouraged to look more closely at Jesus' life and to consider again the significance of his journey to the cross. One thing is clear from the scripture: Jesus knew what awaited him in Jerusalem. In Mark 10, 33 and 34, he spelled it out plainly to his disciples. "We are going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." This is one of the glorious truths about the gospel story. Jesus knew what awaited him in Jerusalem, and yet he went willingly. He willingly chose the way of sacrifice, the way of the cross. He knew what awaited him, but also understood his sacrifice would pay the price for our salvation, our forgiveness, our deliverance. All my life, I have continued to be amazed that Jesus Christ did that for me. Why am I amazed? Because I know who I am. And like all of us, at times, I'm not proud. I'm not happy at all with my thoughts, my words, my actions. And yet, the gospel declares that Jesus loves me anyhow. God loves you and me in spite of our shortcomings and sins. And that's some amazing love. As he made his way toward Jerusalem, Jesus encountered many people. And though he understood his ultimate destiny was in Jerusalem, Jesus had compassion and love for the people he encountered along the way. We can't read the Bible without being caught up in the real life circumstances of the people in that day. And you know what? We're grateful for their stories, for they also show us the love, compassion, and transforming power of God. In the story read earlier from Mark's gospel, we're confronted with the frailty of human existence. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, yet in our humanness, we're also vulnerable to troubling, disconcerting, and destructive influences and forces in the world. Some experiences we or other people have, we understand, but others are not easily explained. There are times when we find ourselves at war within. There is this battle raging within us. Or at times we're at war with others. We have an ongoing battle with people around us. Or at times we can even seem we are at war with God. Our frustration, our disappointment, our anger is directed at God. In any of these real life battles, we can become disjointed, disconnected, unpredictable, and out of control. That is precisely what this story in Mark 5 is all about. Jesus walked into the tormented life of the Gerasene demoniac, this madman whose life is coming apart at the seams. And Jesus turns it around for him. He gives him a new beginning, a new start, a new birth. At the beginning of the narrative, it sounds like a horror story. This wild-eyed, adrenaline-filled madman comes running and shrieking out of the tomb. He is so unbalanced. He's convinced he's being held captive by a whole legion of demons who are pulling and jerking him in every direction. This is an eerie, grim, suspenseful, frightening situation. Jesus and his disciples have just come through a storm on the Sea of Galilee. And having survived that frightening storm, they are thrilled to now set foot on solid ground. But as they get out of the boat, they encounter a different kind of storm, yet another scary experience. They hear strange sounds coming from the tombs, shrieks, growls, screams, moans, the rattling of chains. Then suddenly a horrifying sight, a madman with tattered clothes, bruised, dirty, bloody, and battered with pieces of chains dangling from his arms and ankles, comes running and screaming directly toward them. Now let me ask you something. What would you have done in that situation? This was a perilous place, a terrifying moment. A powerful, dangerous, berserk man charging them. I think I would have run for my life or jumped back in the boat, but not Jesus. Jesus stood his ground and faced this tormented man and healed him. Undaunted, unafraid, Jesus stood there and dealt with this wild man. Mark 5:8 reads, "For Jesus had said to him, 'Come out of this man, you evil spirit.'" Some translations say, "unclean spirit." Jesus healed him, delivered him, brought peace to his troubled soul. In that moment, this man was changed, was transformed, was set free from the powers that were tormenting. Jesus had transforming power, unique authority, and turn this man's life around. And you know, don't you? He can do that for you and me as well. Please notice something here. The madman said his name was Legion. That's a military word, and so appropriate in this case because this man was at war. He was at war with himself. He was at war with other people. He was at war with God. His name was Legion, and he was doing battle with everybody. But then Jesus walked into his life, and in essence, Jesus said to him, It doesn't have to be that way. Is this not the message we need to hear today? Is there something in your life right now that needs to be changed? Do you feel like Legion? Do you feel like you are being pushed and pulled and jerked and yanked in so many different directions that you're out of control? Do you feel like your life is out of balance, out of sync, out of sorts, out of step? Do you feel that you're constantly doing battle with other people? Do you feel worn and tired and rejected? If so, Jesus Christ has a word for you today. He is speaking loud and clear. If you listen real closely, you can hear Him say, Jesus is saying, it doesn't have to be that way. I want to lift three ideas out of this story in Mark 5 that underscore what I'm saying. First of all, you don't have to be at war with yourself. Type yourself in the chat. It doesn't have to be that way. Notice here in Mark 5 that the Gerasene demoniac, this madman, was at war with himself. He was hurting himself, bruising himself, injuring himself. Mark 5:5 reads, night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. He was at war within himself. He cut himself. We know some young people today cut themselves. Why? I don't claim to understand it, but I assume there is a war going on within them too. It may seem hard to understand, but it's a way some young people try to deal with painful emotions, intense pressure, or upsetting problems. They're dealing with feelings that seem too difficult to bear, or circumstances they don't believe can change. There's a war going on within. For some, it might be cutting. For others of us, it can be any kind of self-destructive, compulsive behavior, drug or alcohol addiction, pornography or sex addiction, social media addiction, binge eating addiction. What is your self-destructive behavior? There is a war going on inside, but it doesn't have to be that way. Some time ago, a young lawyer came to see his pastor. He was down in the dumps. He was at his wit's end. He said, everything's gone wrong. I've lost my confidence in my professional ability. My wife has left me. I can't get along with my children. I'm cut off from my parents, my in-laws. I'm having conflicts with my coworkers. I've been drinking heavily. Everybody has left me. And I don't blame them. I've been bitter and hostile. I've done so many mean and cruel things. And now I have so many problems. And then he literally said this, my troubles are legion. He paused and took a deep breath. And then he leaned forward and he said, to tell you the truth, I think all those problems and troubles are symptoms. My real problem is that I don't like myself. And that taints everything that I touch and do. Well, he was probably right. When you are at war with yourself, it smudges and distorts every relationship. On the other hand, when we feel good about ourselves, we are more loving and more patient and more thoughtful, more gracious toward everyone we see. Do you want to feel good about yourself? Do you want to like yourself more? Do you want to stop bruising and hurting yourself? Do you want to be at peace within? Then remember this, you are special to God. He loves you. You are extremely valuable to Him. He wants to claim you as His child. That's what Jesus' journey to the cross was all about. In Christ, God Himself was paying the price for all of our sin and brokenness, our shame and pain, so that we could be free within. You don't have to be at war within yourself. It doesn't have to be that way. You are special to God. He loves you this much. That's why Jesus came. A second truth from this story. You don't have to be at war with other people. It doesn't have to be that way. Type other people in the comments. In Mark 5, Legion, the madman, was very much at war with other people. He had been cast out of society. We read in Mark 5:3, this man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. Exiled to the tombs, an outcast, ostracized, constantly doing battle with other people. Here in this story, he runs out toward Jesus and his disciples looking for a fight. Isn't it amazing how crossways, hostile, and at odds people can get? Once the show 2020, they did a program called Neighbors at War, showing how next door neighbors do battle with one another, fighting one another, fussing at one another, suing one another, sometimes even shooting at one another because of a barking dog or a noisy power tool. When will we ever learn? When will we ever learn to befriend one another, to respect one another, to get along with each other, to love one another? Certainly we understand neighbors can be at war. And we've been reminded these past few days and weeks that nations can be at war too. Our hearts continue to go out and our prayers continue to go up on behalf of the people of Ukraine as they seek to defend their country against Vladimir Putin's terrible attack. And hasn't it been amazing to see how people around the world have come together in prayer and protest against Putin's aggression? Remarkably, people around the globe are turning out to lend their voice in opposition to this unjust, unprovoked, and inhumane decision to attack the Ukrainians. People around the world have banded together in hopes of what the prophets Isaiah and Micah both foresaw, a time when nation will not take up the sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Our scriptures declare one day war will be no more. But in the meantime, we do everything we can to prevent it and to come against war in our world. A third truth I want to point to you from this story. A third truth I want to point to from this story. You don't have to be at war with God. Type God in the chat. It doesn't have to be that way. In Mark 5, Legion the madman is also cut off from God. We read in Mark 5:7, he shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." Here's a question. Have you ever been at war with God? Have you ever known someone at war with God? It can happen. We're frustrated, angry, upset because there is disappointment, injustice, difficulty, something's not going our way, and we're angry, even at war with God. Carl Michelson, a brilliant theologian, once told about playing with his young son one afternoon. They were tussling playfully on their front lawn when Dr. Michelson accidentally hit the young boy in the face with his elbow. It was a sharp blow, full to his son's face. The little boy was stunned by the impact of the elbow. It hurt, and he was just about to burst into tears. But then he looked into his father's eyes, and instead of anger or hostility, he saw there his father's sympathy and concern. He saw there his father's love and compassion. Instead of exploding into tears, the little boy suddenly burst into laughter. What he saw in his father's eyes made all the difference. This is one of the reasons Jesus coming into the world is so important. He helps us look into and see our Heavenly Father's eyes. Jesus shows us the love, compassion, concern, and empathy in our Heavenly Father's eyes. And that's the good news of our faith. Jesus reveals that God looks at us not with angry, condemning, vengeful eyes, but with eyes of love. So, we don't have to be at war with ourselves. We don't have to be at war with other people. We don't have to be at war with God. Jesus comes into our lives just as he came into Legion's life, saying, it doesn't have to be that way. Remember this, because of Jesus Christ, circumstances can be different. People can change. It doesn't have to be that way. It's what happened to the Gadarene demoniac. It's what can happen to others we know. It's what can happen to you. That's the good news of our gospel. Amen. Do you or someone you know need the life-changing touch of Jesus today? Let us pray. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you have authority and power to change us like no one else. Our lives can become disjointed, disconnected, maddening. We can go off. We can get far from you. We can literally be at war within ourselves or other people, even at war with you. Lord, in this story, we're reminded of the depth and strength of your power. Like this demon-oppressed man, you can set us free. You can break the chains that hold us. You can deliver us from whatever it is that is hindering, that is hurting, that is harming us. Lord, help us place our faith and trust in you. In your name, in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Hey, if you want to visit with me about the message, I'd love to hear from you. Get a hold of me. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, again, send them to us. We want to hear from you. And thank you for your generosity. Your ongoing gifts help us reach our community, reach our world for Jesus and His kingdom. You can go online using the app or the website anytime. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities. Find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, you don't have to be at war with yourself, others, or God. Jesus is the one who says, it doesn't have to be that way. Things can change. For now, who do you know that needs this life-changing power from Jesus?
So I bought this book called How to Solve 50% of Your Problems.
Okay.
Get this, I but two.
Clever girl. The men's breakfast will be Saturday, March 12th at 8 a.m. Come by for great food, fellowship, worship, music, and to hear another story of how God changes lives among the men in our church. This month's speaker is Mike Roberts. Mike will talk about his journey with Christ with an emphasis on how God has specifically answered his prayers and stories guaranteed to get your attention.
Would you like to try pickleball? On Tuesday, March 8th at 7 p.m., church members will host an introductory session teaching the basics of the game, scoring, and the importance of staying out of the kitchen. Adult players of all skill levels are welcome to attend. Sign up at the Connect Center.
The All Ears Music Appreciation Society is watching a documentary about Chuck Lavelle, who is regarded as the best rock keyboard player of the last 40 years. He's performed with the Allman Brothers, the Rolling Stones, and Eric Clapton. Come meet this amazing musician today at 2 p.m.
You can find all this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.